Hi, and welcome back to Debt Wired. In today's episode, you'll be hearing from Claire Madden, who is one of the founding partners at Connection Capital, a platform that specialises in alternative investment opportunities. So, Claire, should we start at the beginning, all the way back to 2010, when you and three others decided to set up Connection Capital? Firstly, why was the investment platform created?
We were firm believers that alternative investment environment and opportunity should be open to a wider audience. So it really been the preserve of institutional investors. And we felt that actually private capital needed to have the opportunity to access a wider range of those sorts of opportunities. So we created a platform to enable that sort of capital to access alternative investments at an accessible level in terms of entry.
15 years on, what to your mind have been the biggest changes in the market?
Private markets in general have come to the fore. They've become a lot more popular. Many companies are staying private for longer. So I think more and more investors are thinking about how they're going to access those private markets because the public markets are no longer enough. So the traditional sort of equity and bonds portfolio needs to be enhanced by at least some allocation to private markets. If you look at traditional asset allocation from institutional investors, private markets, that is access to private equity, venture capital, private debt, real assets, infrastructure, has formed part of that asset allocation for years. It's now come to the fore that actually private capital and private investors need access to those sorts of assets as well.
And what types of investors are you seeing the most demand from right now?
So our clients are mainly high net worth individuals and single family offices. All have a real interest in gaining access both to fund investments in private markets, but also to single asset investments. So they are particularly attracted to individual deals in both private equity and private debt. And we're fortunate enough to be able to offer them both of those sorts of investments, both on the fund side and single asset transactions.
How would you say that investor appetite has changed in recent years?
I think there's been a real sort of thought in terms of accepting that there are interesting returns to be had in assets that maybe don't have any liquidity. I'm a firm believer, again, with private capital, that it's maybe sort of the advisory-led community that's become a bit obsessed with providing sort of structures that do provide liquidity to investors, but it's not really driven by the investors themselves. That's certainly been our experience. Private capital tends to make an investment decision, accepts that it's a longer term investment. These are typically, for a single asset, be a 3 to 5 year hold period. For a private equity fund, that's a 10 year commitment effectively. So if you're happy that your capital is going to be tied up, but you're prepared to do that because of the enhanced returns that you will get from that investment, then there really is no drive for liquidity from any of the structures that are out there.
What differentiates Connection Capital's approach from other private capital investment firms?
We provide a real range of investments. I think it's really the breadth of what we offer. So Connection Capital itself is an active private equity investor into UK SMEs. So we typically operate backing growth capital investments or management buyouts where the equity requirement in the transaction is between 3 and 10 million. So we've got our own in-house team here and we're very well known in the marketplace as being an active investor in that part of the market. So that's one example of the sort of investment that our clients can get into with us. We also provide a very efficient way to get access to institutional grade alternative asset funds. And that could be anything from a seed series A venture fund through to a later stage sort of growth venture fund, through to private equity, through to secondary strategies, private debt, structured credit and hedge funds. Then what comes off a lot of our relationships with the fund managers who run those strategies, we very often have co-investment rights into single assets. So again, that's enhanced the sorts of deals that we can bring our clients in terms of the single transactions they can get access to. So very often getting into maybe larger buyouts or specific private credit transactions, just where there is a sort of third-party private equity sponsor running those transactions. It's not done by Connection Capital. We are simply enabling access to those deals.
Are you seeing more interest in private equity, private debt, or alternative assets at the moment, and why?
There's definitely a move towards private equity. Main reason for that is that while interest rates are still relatively high in historic terms, then private investors are quite happy to wait and see and wait for sort of compelling opportunistic buys. So definitely looking for capital returning strategies because yield is no longer the sort of number one priority. Whereas really sort of before the interest rate rise, it was a big part of sort of the appetite for that capital to get some sort of yield play on the investments that they were looking at. So very much happy to look at longer term capital growth, and that comes from private equity strategies. I think there is a feeling in the marketplace, in addition to that, that actually there's a lot of value out there, particularly in UK assets at the moment. So we're finding that private equity strategies on the primary front are getting a lot of interest from our clients where there is a UK focus. For the last sort of, I guess, since COVID, secondaries have been a big sort of pool for private investor capital. And you can understand why. COVID kicked out the business plans and value creation plans of a lot of private equity assets. So you got managers wanting to hold onto them for a longer period of time, whereas you might have some impatient LPs wanting liquidity. That is a wonderful combination for the secondary market because there is a real motivation to find liquidity solutions for those investors that want out. And as an incoming investor, you're coming in to get exposure to assets that are already midway through their sort of, you know, value creation plan. And therefore, you're probably looking at a shorter hold period than you would do if you were coming in at the beginning. And you may well be lucky in a lot of circumstances to be coming in at a discount to current valuation. So again, good buying opportunities. But secondaries, definitely still a big theme that'll carry on through 2025 and beyond.
What return profiles are your investors looking for in today's private capital market?
So I would say the expectation has gone up. As I say, there is an alternative now for liquid assets to just sit and wait and be opportunistic. So if I look at sort of, you know, maybe going back kind of, you know, 8-10 years ago, sort of a 20% IRR and a 2x return in a private equity fund was fine for investors. That expectation has now gone up. Looking much more at sort of value investors where they're looking to make operational changes into their portfolio, but drive higher returns across the portfolio. So you're probably, you know, their expectation would be sort of, you know, 2.5x, 3x coming through on that front. So it definitely has gone up over the years. And that's mainly driven by what investors want to see for that illiquidity premium. So if they're going to tie up capital for quite a long time, they want to see that it's going to be returning those sorts of levels in the long term.
How would you say that the current political environment globally and in the UK is impacting investor sentiment and decision making in private capital right now?
I think ironically, it probably brings home the central point that investing in private markets, in particular private equity, you need to take a long-term view. We always say that one of the, well, the two big advantages, there's lots of advantages, but the two big advantages in terms of having exposure to private markets is that it can enhance the overall return of your portfolio, but it also reduces the volatility. So if you've got big exposure to public markets, your return can be very susceptible to what's happening in sort of, you know, the global economy. And we're seeing that at the moment with Trump's trade wars. But actually, in private markets, you can't do anything about it. You're a closed-ended vehicle. You don't have to suffer the, you know, the actions of your other fellow investors like you have to do in public markets. So you can just sit and let things ride out and just safe in the knowledge that actually it's a longer-term investment, so it's not going to be subject to the short-term volatility. And then we can all hope that actually sort of, you know, what's happening at the moment is short-lived and it'll be long forgotten by the time your returns start coming out.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Trump. How would you say, you know, political changes in the US are impacting ESG and impact investing?
My understanding is that there has been sort of quite a stark trend recently, sort of, you know, pre-Trump in the States where the ESG has become sort of less of a focus to, you know, I did hear a quote from someone where, you know, it's toxic to even talk about it, which I thought was quite extreme. We're nowhere near that in the UK at the moment, but I do think that, you know, it's going to become less of a focus because really sort of good governance and sort of not doing anything that's going to harm the environment and all those good things should really be just sort of wired into any investment manager that's out there. We, interesting enough, we do a survey every year of our clients. And one of the things we always ask them is, you know, can you rank? And we give them a whole list of things where they sort of rank what's going to attract them to any particular investment opportunity. Unsurprisingly, right at the top of the list is return on investment. ESG actually comes quite far down. I do think, I've often said that private capital thinks quite differently to institutional capital. And I do think a lot of the sort of over ESG drive is really driven by that institutional capital. Whereas if you're investing your own money, yes, it's important, but you know, the priority is to make sure you get a return on your investment and maximize that.
When you did the most recent survey, are you able to say what came up as the biggest concern for investors?
The last one we did about 12 months ago. So a lot has happened in that intervening period. So I think it's the things that you would expect, really. So it's global events. So the energy crisis, sort of cost of living crisis on anything that any business that is sort of consumer facing. But really, I think most investors have started 2025, and we've certainly seen that within our client base. Once all everyone's tax returns was out of the way in January, they've really started to sit down and focus and really think about being a lot more strategic about how they're going to invest over the course of the next sort of 18 months. And I think everyone sees that there's going to be quite a lot of opportunity, and actually the year of sitting on a lot of sort of cash resources probably isn't going to be the wisest thing going into this year. I think investor sentiment is pretty strong, and they see that there is opportunity in the marketplace. And as long as you take calculated risks, so you're not going to into anything that's going to be overburdened by debt or overgeared, then you should be in a pretty good place to sort of ride the what hopefully is going to be a very positive market over the next sort of 5 years.
Where do you see the market heading in the next 3 to 5 years?
I hope things are going to calm down. We did have a period where there was a good run in terms of growth, and then we just had a whole series of things, big shocks that have happened. I think COVID has probably made people think quite carefully about what could happen. No one ever kind of predicted that. But, you know, I certainly find myself looking at stuff and going, well, you know, the dynamics of that business are pretty good at the moment, but look at kind of what happened to it in COVID. Chances of that, fingers crossed, happening again in the even medium to long term are pretty low. But it does make you think slightly differently about sort of how businesses cope. And having said that, you know, that big shock to the market, we had a number of portfolio companies that actually experienced a bounce with it. So it wasn't bad for everyone, but it certainly makes you think about the sort of challenges that might come through. One can only hope that actually we've had a lot of bumps in the road, whether it's with Brexit, COVID, you know, big spike in interest rates, the energy crisis, that actually hopefully, you know, we're going to go into a period of relative calm. And that's, you know, it sounds obvious, but it's the best thing for investor confidence if you have sort of calm waters ahead of you and you've got certainty, whether it's sort of for, you know, an investment manager looking at where they're going to place capitals, whether you're investing your own capital, any sort of planning, you'd like to think that that road ahead of you is going to be free from shocks.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
What advice would you give to investors looking to enter the private capital space for the first time?
Make sure you're qualified to do that. And when I talk about qualified, I don't mean that you've got sort of an investment management background. I mean that you understand the risks involved with getting exposure to that market. And mainly I'm talking about liquidity. We, again, going back to our client survey, we often ask them sort of, you know, what percentage of your overall investment portfolio are you going to be looking to allocate to private markets? And it can range anywhere from sort of, you know, 10 to 20%. I would say 20% is quite aggressive, but not uncommon. You need to think that if you need the money that you're going to put into this part of the market quickly, you shouldn't be doing it. I know there are lots of sort of innovative structures and lots of, you know, commentators saying that the market should be open to retail investors, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think that's appropriate. And if anyone is putting together a structure that does provide liquidity at the fund level when it's holding illiquid assets, that's just a recipe for disaster. So I do worry that those lessons that we maybe learned from, prime example was property funds after the Brexit vote, and they all got gated so you couldn't get your capital out. That's a very simple lesson, isn't it? Don't provide liquidity at the fund level if you've got illiquid assets held within that fund, because you won't be able to liquidate them. And if you do end up having to liquidate them, you're going to sell your best assets first at the worst time in the marketplace. So again, going back to that point that I made before, you're going to suffer from the actions of other investors. They're a good thing to have in your portfolio if it is appropriate for you, but it's not appropriate for everyone. So it's very much in that you need experience and you need to have be able to withstand losses within it as well to for it to be appropriate to put into your portfolio.
And how is Connection Capital positioning itself to meet the future needs of private investors?
Well, we're just planning to do more of the same, really. I'm often surprised. It's one of the things I love about my job here is I learn something new every day. I come across a new investment strategy that I've never come across before. I think the private markets in general are highly innovative. So we see new strategies and new approaches, you know, coming out all the time. So I think that whole world just continues to evolve. That's great for investors because it means no matter what the market environment, there is an opportunity to actually drive returns from your investment strategy. So we continue to look at sort of bringing interesting single asset deals to our clients, partnering up with the best of the best in terms of private equity managers, both in the UK, but Europe and the US as well, looking at both fund investments and single assets. I'm looking forward to venture coming back again. It had a good run and then there was a sort of price correction really driven from the markets in the US. But we're beginning to see that coming back again. And the innovation, obviously, with AI coming through, etc. I think it's going to be a really exciting time for venture. And I hope, you know, investors start to go back to that asset class a bit more because we need to invest in sort of, you know, the future technology and innovation right across the globe. And there's some very canny entrepreneurs out there and they just need the support and the capital to get their ideas off the ground.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Claire, for joining us and sharing your insights with listeners. And thank you again, listeners, for tuning in. If you've missed any episodes, please visit iTunes or Apple Podcasts to catch up on DebtWired. Bye for now.